Hello everybody and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast. This is a podcast that is dedicated to helping you live your best life.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. As you will have seen from the title, we are talking all about sex in this episode, and we are joined by sexual educator and dating and relationships advisor Millie Shields.
Yes, we were literally so excited to talk to Millie. She is such a lovely girl. We've been waiting for so long, haven't we, to like dive into sex with like a sexual educator. And this episode is just full of the most incredible tips. We talk all about boundaries. We talk about self-pleasure and learning your own body. We talk about communication in the bedroom. We talk about the orgasm gap.
There's really nothing we don't cover.
Yeah, there isn't. Like, it's an all-round episode. You're going to leave very well educated. So you can go out there and just enjoy sex and enjoy self-pleasure. Like, that's the main thing, and that's what we want for you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Love Honey, the global leader in sexual happiness. We're so excited to introduce Love Honey as a sponsor of this episode because they're a company that both me and Abby absolutely love, and their dedication to sexual happiness perfectly aligns with everything that we talk about in this episode.
Yeah, exactly. One of the main things that we speak about in this episode is the importance of self-pleasure and really spending time understanding your own body and understanding what you like so you can go out there and really enjoy sex. And one incredible way to explore what it is that you like, because obviously everybody is really different, is through exploring sex toys. Love Honey is the number one online shop for sex toys, and they are giving our listeners 15% off everything on the site when you use code FINDINGYOUR15. And of course, we have some recommendations for you. So if you are kind of new to this, or maybe you want to explore a new toy, one that we highly recommend to start with is the Love Honey Rose Clitoral Suction Stimulator for solo play. This one is amazing as it's just slightly less intimidating. I think sometimes when you think of sex toys, you just imagine huge
like a big
dildos.
Massive dildo,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the rose is literally, you can just tell it's designed with that feminine woman in mind. It's literally shaped like a rose, and it's a clitoral stimulator. So it's not actually a dildo, and it's just the perfect one to start with. And another great one, which is hugely popular, is the Womanizer OG Pleasure Air G-Spot Stimulator, which uses Pleasure Air technology to stimulate your G-spot, which, I mean, like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, I'm all about this air technology.
Yeah, there's a lot of air technology going on. And it does feel very different to anything I've tried before, so I do highly recommend.
Not many people know this, but it's something that we talk about in this episode. Only 18% of women can actually orgasm from penetration alone. We need to be stimulating the clitoris as well for women to be orgasming. So for anyone out there in a relationship that wants to bring in some toys into the bedroom to make sure that you are prioritizing your own orgasm and increasing the likelihood of you getting to climax with your partner, we really recommend the range of couple toys on the Love Honey website. A great one to start with is the Love Honey Ignite Vibrating Love Ring. Don't forget to use our code FINDINGYOUR15 to get 15% off everything site-wide on lovehoney.com. But wait, that isn't everything. We've got another amazing surprise for you guys. Love Honey are very kindly giving one of you £550 worth of sex toys and sexual wellness products. All you need to do is head to our Instagram at Find Your Feet Podcast. Make sure you follow us and at Love Honey Official on Instagram, and just simply like our latest Instagram post that's pinned to the top of our feed to enter the giveaway. And you can be in with a chance of winning £550 worth of sex toys delivered straight to your door.
So welcome to the show, Millie. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
I know, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
We've literally been so excited all week, haven't we?
Yeah, we've been buzzing.
So have I, honestly. Like, I have only done a couple of podcasts, but obviously I've seen you guys on TikTok and stuff, so I was really excited to come on and be a guest on this one because I actually listened to it and, like, aww, I said, see you guys on TikTok.
Yeah, aww, we literally love your TikTok.
We do.
Like, watching you for months and months and months, and I was like, we need to get her on the show. And
honestly, when people say they've seen my TikTok, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh. They've seen me talk about some ridiculous things, honestly, but no,
it's so good. You're shining a light on all the things that a lot of people don't speak about, so that's why we wanted to talk to you today. But if you could just start by telling us a little bit about what you do and what made you want to do this kind of work.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a sex educator, but I've also worked in helping other people with their sex lives and doing like one-to-ones with couples, with singles, and that's basically the job as it is. But in terms of TikTok and sex educating, I think I felt really, I don't know, I used to work in marketing, but when I broke up with my boyfriend of like really long time, I just felt like I needed to go into something with a bit more purpose. And it did sort of go like hand in hand with the breakup, and I just naturally started speaking about dating, about relationships, and then I got offered a job in sexual wellness, and it all just like naturally went from there. But personally, like, my journey to this was like, when I was taught sex ed, my parents were like ridiculously reserved in that sense, and my mum always tried to get me to talk about it with her, but it just wasn't something I wanted to discuss, and she just went into it like way too formal. And yeah, I was just like so embarrassed. I just felt like this is so unnatural to talk about. But then myself, like, I was sexually assaulted when I was like 16, and again, it's just really important to know the right things and what is right, what's not. So yeah, I think that's definitely why I wanted to go into something in this sector.
Yeah, because I think what I love so much about all your content is like, is so empowering, because it's teaching you like fun things as well. Obviously, like all the fun like tips and stuff, but then you also talk about like really important stuff like consent and boundaries, and even just on like, you know, what's like, what we're going to go into, but like what is normal in the bedroom that like needs to be normalized, because it's not, and all these things just about us, that because it's such a vulnerable experience, like it's such an intimate experience, but we're not, because we're everyone's so reserved about it and we don't talk about it, you then don't know how to show up, as in, where is your boundaries, where are your lines, like, so that you can stop things like sexual assault happening. Obviously, like, sometimes that can't always be stopped,
yeah,
like,
if you're being, for sure,
you know, but I think things like that would probably be minimized if like we all felt more empowered to like have a voice, like, and but yes, so that's why I'm really excited to dive into like all the things we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about fun stuff, but also like that more like emotional care side that needs to be discussed as well, because sex is a huge part of everybody's life and a huge part of like your own wellness, but we're not educated on it enough, and that's why I love like how you show up online. I just think like hats off to you as well, because it's not easy thing to go on, going online and sharing anything isn't easy, let alone this. And so I think it's like, you know, like amazing how you've got to this point where you're like sharing all that online and just being so helpful to so many people.
I think it, I didn't realize like what impact it could actually have when I first started doing it, because like I said, I was just speaking about my dating and relationships and like funny things that happened to me, like, you know, when I was starting to having sex with other people and things like that, but yeah, it just came like naturally, and then more people were asking questions, and I just felt like, oh, okay, people actually want to know about this. And then I like reflected a little bit on like my own stuff, and I was like, yeah, well, I was never taught any of this, to be honest. Like, I've learned it like in my mid-20s, which is ridiculous to learn that amount of stuff that's been so like important through your growth. So yeah, it is just mad how like none of it's out there. I'm still like shook now when people ask certain questions, because I'm just like, why is this not taught anywhere?
Yeah, and that's why like your platform's so important. But we wanted to start off by talking about the relationship that you have with someone, whether that's you're actually in a committed relationship, or it's just you're sleeping with them casually, or it's really romantic, whatever. Like, just the importance of respect and communication regardless of what it is that you're actually in, because obviously in our world now as well, I think sex can get a bit blurred, and emotions can get, because of all these different things, situationships, all this kind of stuff. Oh, you just seeing each other, oh, just actually just sleeping together and that's it, or we're in actually in a relationship. Like, I think all of that in dating doesn't help the confusion that can go on in the bedroom.
No, there's a lot of blurred lines, like you said, especially with this generation, like they confuse everything, overcomplicate so many types of things. So I think, like you said, the importance of respect and communication is like base level. Like, it doesn't matter what sort of relationship you have with someone, because if you're seeing someone casually, if you're seeing someone and you've decided that you're going to be friends, but, you know, friends with benefits or whatever, that needs to be there. And I think some people mistake the fact that, oh, if I'm not a committed romantic relationship with someone, I don't have to have those aspects of, you know, communication, respect. I don't have to have them because it's not like long term, it's not committed, but it's like, well, like, to say it bluntly, it's just being a decent person. Like, you should have respect and that basic level of just like keeping someone else's feelings in mind, because even if you do agree to have like a casual relationship with someone, things can develop. And, you know, girls especially, like, we're a lot, we can be a lot more emotional, and putting yourself in a vulnerable position with someone is, you've got to have a certain amount of trust to do that in itself. So for someone to disrespect that, I think is just so normalized these days. And I feel like I'm really old fashioned in that respect, because I just don't like any type of disrespect, whether it is, you know, someone I dated once, someone I slept with once. Like, I'm always going to have that basic respect for someone, you know, unless they obviously disrespect me, then it's a little bit different. But I think that is definitely a blurred line. And we'll talk about it later on. But even when you have sex with someone and it might just be a one-time thing, they just, there's no strings attached. Yeah, we're all aware of that. But you don't have to be rude to someone after that. You don't have to, you know, block them. You don't have to do all this other stuff that's just so unnecessary, that could just completely damage someone's confidence, make them lose trust in you. There's just so many things that can happen from that one thing of disrespect. And I think definitely in this generation, like, people need to know that regardless of your relationship with someone, they are very, very basic needs. You're not asking for too much by asking for that, for sure. You're not.
Yeah, so true. Because I feel like, especially in this generation where, like, ghosting and everything is so normalized, but when you actually think about the vulnerability of sex or even one night stands and stuff, like the effects of that. But maybe, like, some advice for girls, because I do feel like I hear this a lot, and we've probably all been there, where, like, you get into some kind of situation and you want to know what's happening, but there's this, like, maybe like a lack of confidence to, like, what is this situation?
Yeah.
Or I feel like with a lot of girls and guys, you may want to, like, play it cool, like, oh, I don't want to ask what this is. What would be your advice for people like that, that, like, kind of want to ask but don't want to come off too much, but they kind of need to root down in how healthy it is to have that communication?
Yeah, for sure. It's a tricky conversation to have with anyone. And I completely understand that people might be a little bit like, I want to play it cool, so I don't want to ask those questions. But if it's gone on, I say, like, a month, 2 months, and there's no communication from either of you of what could possibly be going on, you do just need to ask. It's not nice, and it does take a lot of confidence, but you do just sometimes need to take that leap for yourself and just know that you're doing it for you. Like, you need answers. The worst that someone can say is, you know, I'm not looking for that right now, I'm not looking for what you are. But you've done it then, you've asked the question. But also, I think it's really important to understand what you want from a situation, because we speak to people and we might date people, but you don't always think about, what do I want from this? Like, when I became single again, I think I found it really difficult to know what I wanted, because I wanted the comfort of a boyfriend again, for sure. Like, I'd just come out of something so long term, but then I didn't want that. Like, I wasn't ready for another relationship. I wasn't ready to even be intimate with someone for, like, quite a long time after that. I think getting to the root of what you actually want, and it's okay to be like, I want something casual, I don't want a boyfriend right now, I don't even want to date, I just want sex. Like, it's fine to say that. Guys can go on and say that whenever they want, and that's absolutely fine. But I think sometimes as a woman, and even admitting that to your friends can be a little bit, like, daunting, and they might judge you. Like, I don't think my friends actually judged me for that. They were just like, oh my God, like, Millie's living her best single life at that time. But yeah, it can be daunting. But then again, like, if a friend's going to judge you, like, that says a lot about that relationship. So I think knowing what you want for yourself before going into that conversation as well, because, you know, when a guy says, like, oh, I want a relationship with you, you're kind of like, oh, okay, maybe that's what I want. But sometimes it's not. And that's fine to, like, admit to yourself and to them.
Yeah, that's some great advice, isn't it? It always starts with us, like, what do we actually want?
Yeah.
Okay, so should we jump into the sex? This is a bit we're excited for. Within this conversation, we're going to go over a lot of, like, communication and stuff. And then also some things that may happen, like, in the bedroom that maybe are not so much normal that we feel should be normalized, because I feel like there's so many of them. So maybe if you could start by listing off a few, and then also maybe telling us, like, why we should feel, like, more empowered around them, and how we can begin to feel more empowered by just, like, accepting them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that happens in the bedroom that is considered normal, but like you said, we don't think it's normal, because you see in films and porn and all this stuff that it's a very seamless experience, and it's not like that. like people will know from their first time, like it never goes like the films. It's like the complete opposite and you're like, what the hell is this? It's so different to what I expected. But I think things like, you know, feeling awkward, changing positions, that's mm-hmm. still something I feel like even now I'm sometimes like, oh, when you're trying mm-hmm. to change positions, because you just stood there naked, like it doesn't feel normal, mm-hmm. but it's fine to feel like that. And then you can obviously just get on with it. But I think things like, you know, queefing, mm-hmm. no one ever finds that normal. And it's always a bit like, oh my God, has that actually just happened to me? Like, what do I do now? But I think sex just needs to be like a lighthearted experience. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like that because you are putting yourself in a vulnerable position. But I think you, like, people just need to be a bit more laid back about it, which is so much easier said than done. Not being wet enough during sex is something that can happen to women a lot more than we think. Time of the month, things like that, weather can even change it if you're not getting the right vitamins, mm-hmm. Diet, mood, anything, you know, the wetness and your arousal isn't really what's it called,
like correlated,
that's the one. Yeah, it's not correlated. And I think you're just, it's an easier issue to fix for us because you can use things like lube, like oils. But again, for guys, like, going soft is so normal. You know, if someone's too hot, they can go soft. Like, if someone's too tired, their mood, the weather again, it's so normal for those things to happen. And it doesn't mean that anyone's not attracted to you or there's anything wrong with you. It's just like how our bodies are reacting to certain things. And yeah, that is a really normal thing to happen. Even when I speak about that on TikTok, people are like, oh wait, so he went soft, but that doesn't mean he doesn't fancy me. And I'm like, no, it could have been so many different other things, mm-hmm. like anxiety and depression as well. Like, they really affect how your body responds to sex. So yeah, they're things that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because it's like not spoken about, like, especially like guys going soft or how wet girls get,
yeah,
like, you don't really talk about little awkward things like that with your friends, or maybe like, maybe girls do more, I don't know, but mm-hmm. I don't know about guys, but it's just your body, like you said, there's so many factors going into why that would happen. And then because you're on TikTok showing up and like sharing things like that, it then means like so many people will have those normal experiences and then know how to make their partner feel better, and that it's not a big deal or whatever, mm-hmm. and also within themselves not stop being like, oh yeah, it's because I'm not hot enough, he doesn't fancy me, and start getting like a complex, like a confidence issue.
Yeah,
I can just, because of this lack of communication around sex, there's so much that you can just feed into your mind, and it just, that isn't the truth, and it all just changes just from conversation, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. why, like, I love that we can talk about this right now, and like how you, all these things you share on TikTok, like, it's so helpful.
Yeah, even like if I've done a TikTok about guys going soft, or, you know, how girls should react to that situation, because, you know, a piece of advice, if a guy goes soft, you know, whatever your relationship with him may be, don't ask, is it because of me? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Because the stress that's going to add to them in that situation is probably going to make it worse. It's not going to help anything. And it could really knock their confidence as well. And it's the same for guys. Like, you know, to not say, you know, why are you like this? Why is it not wet? Why, you know, you're not, what's going on? It's just not going to help the situation. I think if you just take a second, take a breath and be like, right, you know, we don't need to have sex right now.
Yeah.
Let's give it an hour or so and we'll see what the situation is then. Like, there's no rush with it.
Yeah,
like,
no pressure, yeah.
Yeah, but people tag their boyfriends. People send my TikToks to their boyfriends or their girlfriends and stuff, like I've been told. And even that, like, could be quite comforting for them to be like, oh, okay, that's happened to me in the past. And maybe that's absolutely fine, but fix that little bit of confidence that might have been knocked in the situation.
Yeah. I think, like, being open about all this stuff like this, it's taking that performance element out of sex, which I think, you know, men especially get pressured with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, with girls, the way our bodies work and our anatomies work, like, there isn't a physical, obviously, other than, like, getting wet, but like we just said, that's not always directly correlated with how aroused you actually are. Mm-hmm. There's no physical, like, sign that, you know, so you can just kind of like actually not be that into it or whatever, and no one would really know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, but this whole performance element of sex just take, it's like just bringing ego into it, and it's just taking out the love, the connection. Like, it, but even like you were saying at the start, situationships or just that you want casual sex and you don't want to be dating anyone, you still want that respect and care.
Yeah.
Because you're both being intimate together. But this whole like performance element, it just takes that out of it, and like,
yeah, definitely,
it's like a wall, like you put a wall, and even if you're not serious with someone, I still think you don't need to have that wall there. That's what makes you feel shit.
Yeah,
that's what makes you feel, when you feel sad or empty afterwards, it's because of that.
Yeah. I think doing a lot of reflection on your, how you respond to things, and like you said, your ego out of sex is a massive thing with it as well. Like, if you have a big ego, you know, on a day-to-day basis, when you go into a vulnerable experience like that, you're going to be like bigging yourself up and being like, yes, I can do this. And then if something goes wrong, you're just, you're really going to knock your own confidence. So yeah, I think a lot of reflection outside of the bedroom can do a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Some other things that are like not spoken about enough and is about the difference between the male and the female orgasm, because obviously, like we mentioned movies at the start, but like, you know, porn, society, everything, it doesn't, the way that sex is portrayed, it's not putting the female orgasm first, it's not even showing how women orgasm, because the like only 18% of women or something can orgasm from penetration alone. Like, they need clitoral stimulation as well, but like so many girls probably don't even know that about themselves. A lot of guys probably don't even know that, and obviously there's a lot of girls out there probably faking orgasms too, and I get like you might be doing it because you want to make them feel better, or you don't want to or whatever, or maybe you just want to like have it finish and it be done. What's the, let's chat about that, like what is the difference between like men and women's orgasms, and how can women start to understand their bodies better, and men to understand them better too, so they can start to prioritize their own pleasure in the bedroom?
Like you said, the whole 18% of women can only orgasm from penetration alone, I think that I've seen that statistic going around on social media at the minute, and it's been on TikTok, it's been on Instagram, and I think the response from what I've seen from that was really interesting, and guys were like, yeah, not when I do my thing. And I was like, no, you don't understand, they can't, like their bodies don't allow them to. It doesn't matter if you're doing X, Y, and Z, you know, you can do everything, but unless they have the clit stim that they need, they're not gonna orgasm. Like, it doesn't matter what you do or how big you may be or what you think you can do with it, their bodies cannot do that. And I think because even when you're taught at school about sex, you're like, it's told as like a scientific thing. It's there to make babies, but we don't get taught anything about clit stim or how to actually have an orgasm as a woman. Like, were you guys taught that at school?
No,
I don't
think you got like
not.
Condom on a banana. Yeah, that was it.
Fully, that's all I got, and no one even wanted to do that because it was too embarrassing. Yeah. But you're not taught how to have an orgasm, and for the majority of women to be able to orgasm with clit stim is bizarre to me, how we're not even told. You have to do the work yourself. You have to like figure out how you want to orgasm, basically. And a lot of that is to do with masturbation, but guys' orgasm's pretty simple. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot that guys can experiment with and how they can actually get their orgasm. But with women, it's like, you can have sex your whole life and not have an orgasm. Like, it's really important to have the masturbation side in it, so you get to know your own body. And I always say, you know, if you're going to do it with someone, then you need to do it with yourself first, and you need to get to know your own body, so when you do go into sex with someone, you know what your body likes and what it doesn't like, and you can direct them. And I think it's really difficult to direct someone during sex. Like, guys miss it all the time, do you know what I mean? They don't know what they're doing a lot of the time because of the lack of education around it. But I think if, like, I get so many questions on TikTok, and girls are saying like, I can't orgasm, is there something wrong with me, I just can't orgasm, and I'm just like, I'm sure you can, but you're going into sex not knowing what you like, probably. Like, these are young girls, do you know what I mean? They're probably sleeping with a guy for the first time, their first couple of guys or girls or whatever. But I think you need to know your own body. Like, I'm sure I started masturbating when I was like, honestly, between like 10 and 11. I'm not even going to lie. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I just knew that I was doing something and it felt good. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. But I think even that, when I got older, I was like, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't. And I mean, I was in a long-term relationship for, you know, like 6 years, and you're able to be open with a boyfriend. So I think that respect, it was a lot easier for me. But yeah, I think masturbation comes into it hugely, like using vibrators, using whatever you want, like a shower head, you know, it all helps you understand your own body.
Yeah. Yeah, no, masturbating's really important. Like, I think especially for girls, yes, they don't sit there and talk about it with their friends. Not like, well, some people do. Some of them do. But like, especially when you're younger, you don't really, like, when you're in school and stuff, like, you just, you know, there's so many people pretend that they're not doing it
In school always, you know, laugh and joke about them masturbating. Yeah. But as soon as it's turned on girls are like, I don't do that. Like,
yeah, because as if it's shameful for women to do it, but for guys it's a bit more of like a casual,
I don't know,
like,
what it was like in school. Girls used to get like embarrassed or just feel a certain way that even if a guy said like, oh, you definitely finger yourself, which again,
like,
is like
a what's it called,
like an insult.
Yeah. She definitely fingers herself. Like, what?
Yeah, like, you definitely finger yourself. I'm like, yeah, I probably do. What's he got to do with you? Like, I just think, like, none of my friends would admit that during school. And I don't think even I would, because I'd be like, no, I don't do that. I do other things. Mm. But I'm not going to start going into that when I'm in school. But it's just really strange how women will definitely just automatically be like, no, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, obviously, now I'm, like, completely the other way. Mm. And I'll be, like, shouting about it if I do something.
Yeah.
But it's just mental how women will just automatically think it's a shameful thing.
Yeah.
But that's what society has literally taught us, that like, we shouldn't enjoy sex or... Mm. And when, even men, like, they don't want to learn sometimes.
Yeah. And when actually the clitoris has one purpose only, which is pleasure. It doesn't... Yeah. It's not part of making children. It's there for pleasure and that's it.
Yeah, you can make a child and not even have an orgasm.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Going through all of that and not even being able to have an orgasm. I'd be fuming. Yeah, fuck that.
That's why we need you. Educating us. But maybe then for people listening, maybe like a girl out there that has never had an orgasm during sex, or maybe not even on her own, because that can happen as well, can't it?
Yeah.
What would be your advice, maybe? Like, where do you think they should start?
I think, you know, mirror work does a lot for people's self-esteem. It does a lot for getting to know your own body, because you can literally look in a... If anyone doesn't know what mirror work is, it's literally holding a mirror in between your legs and looking at everything. Mm-hmm. You know, finding out where your clit is, finding out where, like, the difference between your vulva and your vagina, and looking at it in all its glory. Mm-hmm. And touching it, and, you know, figure out where you're touching and where feels better than the other place. And that is a really difficult thing to do. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but it's so difficult to do. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like you feel more connected with yourself when you do actually do it. And it does definitely build on your self-worth, self-confidence, because you can see, like, all of you. And it's so, like we said, it can be a shameful experience for some people, or they think it's shameful. And I think to look at yourself in that light just makes you have so much more respect for yourself. And yeah, I mean, my advice for anyone who doesn't think they can orgasm is definitely to try that, to just feel yourself, touch yourself, like, get lube involved, get toys involved, and just the purpose of it doesn't even have to be to orgasm. Just figure out where feels good. And if you get to orgasm, then, you know, that's great. But if you don't, you know where feels good and you can build on that. There's no pressure to do that straight away or to orgasm as soon as you find what feels good for you. You can just take it slow and build on it. And, you know, if you're struggling to orgasm with a partner, masturbate. Definitely put your finger on what you do like and tell them. And even that's not an easy thing to do. Like I said, some boys don't want to learn, but that says a lot in itself. You know, if your partner doesn't want to respect your pleasure and prioritize your pleasure, then dump him.
No, I want to go more into this now, like the communication side, because that's like difficult. I think it's difficult for everyone involved, but definitely difficult for women, because I think they haven't for so many years, like going back generations, generations, not had a voice when it came to like yeah. sex and sexual empowerment. Like even how you show up on TikTok now, maybe like 10 years ago, people were like, no, like, do you know
where mm-hmm. even now people are like, yeah. why are you talking about this on TikTok?
Well, you know, like we're obviously progressing all the time, but it's still not where it should be. And I think we've got years of like it just, you know, not being like women just couldn't
yeah
but any but also just from how we approach it in society like it's not an open conversation. Yeah. So like what are your tips for somebody then that's like maybe got a partner, maybe they've got they're in a relationship, or maybe they're just going into dating and are going to be sleeping with people, but they want to be able to communicate
yeah
what, so maybe they have been masturbating and they know mm-hmm. what works for them. What are their mm-hmm. what are your tips for how to bring this into the conversation? Like where should it be done, in the bedroom or outside? Yeah. Like what, how should people be approaching it?
I think communication is a really tricky one. It's not an easy thing to do, and I think people assume that if you're good at communicating, you're good at communicating, and that's just how it is. You know, guys as well can be like, oh, I'm just not a good communicator. Like, well, you can learn that. Just so you know, you can learn how to communicate better. If you're going into dating for the first time and you're newly single, I don't know what came over me when I was newly single. The confidence was like, went from here to here. And I was just brutally honest. I mean, I'm pretty honest anyways, but I was very honest and was able to communicate everything I wanted, because I think I'd come out of something that I didn't want and I wasn't happy with. And I kept it in for so many years that I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, right, I'm not missing a trick this time. I need to tell everyone, you know, what I want and how I want it. Again, coming to terms with what you want from a situation. If you just want an orgasm and that's it, then that's great. But I think sitting someone down outside of the bedroom, I don't think this conversation should happen in the bedroom, because it could really knock someone's confidence, especially if you've just had sex.
Yeah,
they're going to be thinking, right, well, that was shocking for her. Yeah. And she's literally just told me. Mm-hmm. Even if it was, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that was bad. You know, I didn't enjoy myself. Like, that's nothing on you. I just think we need to figure out a better way to do that for me, because I'm not having an orgasm. I'm not even finding it that pleasurable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, saying that in itself is fine. Yeah, like, yeah. That's a tough thing to do. And, you know, a guy hearing that is going to be like, shocking for him.
Yeah,
but it needs to be said. Mm-hmm. Like, I've said it before, and you know, it's been a hell of a shock to the person in question, but I'm like, you need to know. And even if, you know, that was a casual relationship, but I still had the respect, because I thought, you know, if you're going out and sleeping with other girls or other guys, whoever that may be, they need to know. You need to know, because you're not, if you're not giving me pleasure, you know, I highly doubt you are for other girls. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I think approaching it probably with, you know, I didn't like it when you do this, I really liked it when you do this. You know, the thing is, you've got to give them some sort of criticism if you're not having an orgasm, because you need to say, you know, I need this from you, I don't need that. But when they do something good, like, praise them for it. Like, guys especially, like, they love a bit of praise and they love an ego boost. So anything they are doing right, tell them and like, tell them over and over again, because they'll love it. And even directing them, you know, if you do want to have the conversation in the bedroom, I'd probably do it in a way that you can direct. So when you are having sex, you know, be like, you know, move here.
Yeah.
But don't just try and move them. Say, you know, move here. Because if you try and move someone, you know what guys are like, they just move back and you're like, right, well, that didn't work then, did it? Yeah, I think you do just, it's not a nice conversation to have. It can be really uncomfortable, and you know, you're sweating and your heart's racing, but you're like, I've got to say this, I've got to tell him, because I'm not having a good time in the bedroom with you. So it just, it needs to be said. It's just, it sounds so like cliche for me to be like, just tell them, but it is literally that. Like, go into it nice is all I can say. Like, again, going back to that respect, you still have to be respectful of them. You still have to take their feelings into consideration. Think how it would feel if someone was saying this to you.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah. It's maybe like go in with like what is good or whatever, like,
yeah,
and then go into that. So it's not just like a whole list of criticism. It's
yeah.
Like, and it's a bit more of like a conversation between the two of you rather than like.
Yeah. And even ask, like, you know, what did you like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And get their input. Because there's probably things that you could be doing different that would be better for them.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you're not going into it saying, you know, I'm the best at this. Yeah. I'm the best at giving head. I'm the best at having sex, all of that. You're not going into it like that. And that's probably not going to be the case. You know, we're all learning. But yeah, I think definitely asking what they like as well. You know, is there anything you want to try? Is there anything that you definitely don't want to try? Just let me know. And it turns into that helps it turn into more of a conversation rather than you just having a go at them.
Yeah. I think it takes such bravery, which is like what I really admire you for. I think it takes such bravery to have those conversations and then openly talking about it now. It's probably inspiring people as well that are listening to have those. Because I do feel when you step into that and step into your voice in the bedroom, it just sets a tone for your relationships anyway. 100%. And maybe if like someone doesn't want to meet you there and they're like, oh gosh, and it freaks them out to like the absolute max where they literally just want to get out and they're like, oh my God, then maybe that's not the person you should be with.
Yeah.
And I know you said before then like, if they can't communicate and then opt for it, then dump him. But like, I did want to know your thoughts on that. Like for maybe that someone that wants to communicate, wants to maybe spice things up, change things around, but they know that their partner might get really offended, go completely into their ego. Do you think they should just find somebody else that can meet them there? Or do you think it's something they could work on?
I think that's definitely like a bigger conversation for that person in that relationship. It's extremely difficult when you consider yourself open-minded and you want to try a lot of different things in the bedroom, or you even just in life, like in general, if you want to try loads of different things as a person and you want to grow in that aspect, like you said, like I want to grow in communication, I want to grow in all different aspects of self. Yeah, it's a big conversation to have. I feel like it'd be like a sit down, right, what's going on now? Because I feel like it makes you lose attraction for someone, you know, if you're that small-minded. If they're that small-minded and you're that open-minded, that's a clash in itself. And say, you know, is this really something that you're never wanting to explore? Because, you know, for me it is. And am I going to have to now go my whole life not doing that? Like for me, when I was in a long-term relationship, I realized that I was bisexual. I knew all along. And I felt confident to say it. And, you know, I said, I don't really want to go my whole life not having slept with a woman or not having that experience of even being with a woman sexually, because that is something that I feel like I need to explore. But I'm aware that, you know, we're together and probably are going to be for a very long time. And he was instantly like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, you can be involved. You don't, you know, I don't have to go and just sleep with a woman. Like, you can be involved or not. You know, it's up to you. And he was instantly like, no. And that in itself, I was like, wow, like it's taken a lot for me to come out and say that and even ask for that from you. And I understand that I'm asking a lot from you for if you do want to be involved, that's asking a lot if that's not something that you're interested in. But, you know, I didn't feel like that respect was really met or even appreciated, that I had taken so much to come to that person and say that. And it made me lose a lot of attraction for that person in a lot of different ways. We had a lot of different conversations about it, you know, things changed eventually, but it might be a slow process. You know, it might be similar to what mine was. It could be, they could instantly have like a wake-up call and be like, right, you know, it's only messing when I was saying this, I didn't realize this was something that's really affecting you. I will learn and I'll do this to try and help you, or sure, let's plan a night where, you know, we have a date night and then we try all this sexy stuff afterwards. That could be a great way to do it. But it could be a really slow process, and I think that's up to that person whether they want to try it now or they want to be patient. But if you're in a relationship with someone, there's nothing wrong with being patient, for sure.
Yeah, because I think it's like with everything in a relationship, when you first get into one, you're not like completely show them every part of you emotionally.
Yeah.
That takes time to build. And I think being vulnerable sexually as well, with, you know, speaking your desires, saying you want to try these things, like coming out, like what you just said, saying, actually, I want to experience being with a girl. That's such a vulnerable thing for you to come and say to that.
Yeah.
You don't know how they're going to take it or whatever. But you're not repressing yourself in that. Like you're being empowered, you're speaking about what you want. And that is so, that's a really vulnerable thing to do. And that takes time, I think, to even, like within the relationship, to have space to do that.
Yeah.
So I think definitely the thing about patience is definitely like a big thing, because if they're like have never had that conversation with anyone before, like, had any kind of open communication around sex before in previous relationships, they might be like, what the hell? But then they might just need a day to be like, oh, okay. And then slowly, and you can just start to, because I think great relationships are built, two people build a great relationship, just not just two people, you just walk into it. And part of that is communication, and communication around sex, and that can be built into being more open, and that's going to make your relationship just completely flourish.
Like two people don't just come together and everything's like seamless. I think that's like a massive myth. And you think once I find that person everything will be fine, but I've been seeing this thing all over like social media recently saying like you don't realize how hard it is when you get in the right relationship, because you have all these difficult conversations and you're able to communicate like that. And yeah, if you're able to communicate with someone like that, like it's amazing, because it, that in itself is so vulnerable, and you're putting yourself out there. Like you said, I was really young when I got in my first relationship, and I think it just took me a few years to even, you know, I was growing as a person whilst I was growing in that relationship, and it did take me a while to think, okay, now I can actually come out and say this. But I don't know if I just didn't believe it. I didn't really know what it was. And yeah, it does take a lot though. So if anyone is struggling with communication, when you get there, like be proud of yourself for actually being able to communicate as well, because it's a massive thing.
Yeah, I think, and I think most people just completely shy away from it and don't want to do it, because there's so much emotional stuff involved. There's so much, like, you don't want to offend them. You don't want to, you don't want to take it the wrong way. But at the end of the day, you can't, as long as you're delivering it in a kind, patient, like, and in a, I think in a way where you're like two people as a team rather than like doing this.
Yeah, and it's okay to reassure someone in that situation as well. Like, listen, I want us to work on this together so we can, you know, have the best sex life, the best relationship that we can have. I'm not having a go at you. I'm not trying to, you know, degrade you or put you down. I'm literally just trying to work on this so we can, we can fit better as a couple and we can work on it as a team.
And I just think it's because society doesn't talk about this stuff.
Yeah,
the movies just make it look like they go in out woman has a great time, done, like, when that's not what's going on.
I just say, girls, if you're screaming in the bedroom and you're not having an orgasm, please stop. You don't have to do that for anyone. Like we were talking about before about performative sex. You do not have to make that noise. I feel like when I'm having really good sex, I make really little noise because I'm like so into it. So, you know, don't give yourself a sore throat. It's not worth it. Like, just concentrate on having an orgasm. You don't have to do that for anyone.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, put that energy back into yourself in that moment and that'll probably get you there quicker.
Yeah, because you're probably concentrating on like, oh, shit, I haven't made a noise in, you know, a few minutes. I better make a moan now. Just stop. You don't need to do that.
No, I love it.
I wish I could tell my younger self that, honestly.
Okay, so let's talk about aftercare after sex. So for someone that may not know, what actually is aftercare and what are the different types?
Aftercare is basically how you decide to comfort each other after sex. It's crucial, to say the least. I think people definitely underestimate like the power of aftercare. Someone could feel really sad after sex. Like, that is an actual thing. I think it's called post-dysphoric something, but yeah, I don't know the actual scientific thing, I can't remember, but it's an actual thing and it's super common amongst men and women. And if it's not, if you're not met with aftercare after sex, it can leave you feeling shameful, which is obviously massive for women. It can leave you feeling just shit about the situation. Like, no one wants to feel like that after sex, after putting yourself in a vulnerable position. And especially if it's someone you care about, you want to feel loved, you want to feel comforted after that. And types of aftercare can literally look however you want them to look. It can look like a cuddle, like just lying there naked together after sex, kissing, like actually hugging, like embracing each other, naked or clothed. Like, it can happen at any point. Having a discussion about, you know, it sounds funny, but what went well, what didn't go so well. Like, it doesn't have to be that, you know, analytic, but you can have that conversation. And again, like, that's another way for you to say, I really liked it when you did this, or I didn't like it when we did that position. Let's sack that one off next time. It can look however you want it to look. Like, if you like your arm being tickled, you know, that could be really comforting for you in that moment. And yeah, it's both for men and women. Like, we all need it. Like, it is really important. And for me personally, like, aftercare is so important. I feel really sad after sex if I don't get aftercare. And I'm like, I feel like I'll probably throw a bit of a tantrum if I don't get it as well, because I'm like, well, that we're not, I feel like we're not finished because I haven't had a cuddle
My friend the other day was like, I was talking about this, she was like, oh yeah, I just jump in the shower after. I'm like, you literally, I would cry if you were my partner. I would cry, like, I actually would, because I think physical touch is a big one of my like, love languages as well.
I'm the same.
So I just couldn't not, like, and I feel like as well, after, when you're doing that as well, if you're aftercare, you're touching and you're cuddling, there's all that oxytocin going on, all those hormones, that's bonding hormones. Like, you're, especially if you're not in a relationship, that's crucial for you to be, you know, like, that, those chemicals to be going between the two of you, for you to, like, feel closer together and, like, love each other more and care for each other more.
And I think, I mean, again, going back to the basic respect and communication, I've been in some situations before where I've had a casual partner and, you know, we've had sex and they've got up, or they've just, you know, the phones, they've picked up their phone, and I'm like, literally sat there like, are you having a laugh?
Yeah,
it's horrible. And they're like, well, we're not together. And I'm like, I don't care if we're not together, we've just had sex. Like, you don't treat anyone like that. And I think I left, actually, because I was so annoyed. But yeah, it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter what type of relationship you're having with someone, that is still crucial. You don't want, if you're having a casual relationship or even a one night stand, surely you don't want them walking away from it thinking like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or, you know, that wasn't great. And I think aftercare comes, it, you know, even if the sex was amazing, it's still really important to do that. So yeah, again, going back to the basic sort of respect, I think that's really important.
What would your tips be for someone that's in, because I feel like it's easier to voice that in a relationship, you can easily be like, no, just stay and, like, cuddle for a bit. Whereas, like, if you are dating and you just want sex and that's it, you're just casually dating people and you're not looking for that relationship, so you're not in that kind of relationship dynamic with anyone, what would be your tips for, like, someone who needs aftercare after sex to voice that so that they aren't leaving these casual sexual encounters feeling shit?
The thing is, I always say, like, if you feel like you can't communicate with someone that you're having sex with, that you probably shouldn't be having sex with them.
So true.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's casual, if it's a one-night stand. One-night stands are a bit tricky, obviously, because you don't get that time to sort of go into all these depths of whatever with the person. But if it's casual and you've, or friends with benefits, or you just want to concentrate on yourself, just to have that conversation and be like, listen, you know, when we have sex afterwards, I feel a bit like, I feel a bit sad, or I feel a bit uncomfortable because we don't spend that little bit of time, like, hugging. I think I just need, like, a hug after sex, or, you know, kissing or anything. Like, it doesn't have to stop just because, you know, we've both had an orgasm, or most probably you've just had an orgasm. It doesn't have to stop there. You know, we can have a bit of a cuddle, a bit of a kiss. You know, if I haven't orgasmed, then we can still do that after you've finished. Like, that's fine. I think that's something that I really started doing in the middle of my last relationship. I was like, hang on, no, like, I have an orgasm now and I'm getting sick of it. Like, I want to. So even if we've got to incorporate a toy, because, you know, I don't think I can finish from penetrative sex, like, we can get a toy out, like, it doesn't have to finish there, and make sure that you get yours afterwards. Just because the guy is finished, like, they can still help you afterwards. That could be a type of aftercare if you haven't finished in the actual penetration side of things. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, we've covered so many good things already. I'm loving all your advice, but just coming kind of towards the end, but we have still got some juicy questions. What is one thing that you really wish everyone knew about sex, especially reflecting on kind of like what we're taught in school? So maybe for like those kind of younger ones as well.
Oh my gosh, there's so much to like think of one. I'm like,
or a few.
I think just to know that there's very little that's considered not normal during sex. You know, if you bleed a little bit during sex, in itself, people panic and they're like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with me? It's fine. Like, it happens to the best of us. You know, having sex can actually bring your period on as well, can I just say? So it's super normal for that to happen. But yeah, just to know that a lot, that happens during sex is normal. Mm-hmm. It's just there's so much of it that we panic if it's not something that we've seen in films. Mm-hmm. But then again, can I just say about the films and porn and stuff as well? Mm. Maybe not so much porn, but films show everything in extreme. You know, relationships are always amazing in films. Like, family situations are always amazing in films. It's not always, that's not realistic for anyone. And I think sex just comes into the play of that. But yeah, no, simple as just there's very little that is not normal during sex. I think that's the most important thing that people need to know, because there is honestly so much of it.
Yeah,
love it.
Okay.
Nah.
So I feel like we spoke loads about like emotional and like the side sex and all that, and that's obviously really important. But while we're getting to the end of our chat with you, we wanted to have a few like fun questions, like sort of like quick fiery questions that then like, you know, like fun tips that the listeners can go and try. So you were talking about masturbation before and how important it is, and maybe there's some people listening today, some women listening today, that literally don't masturbate, or maybe have never masturbated with toys or anything like that.
Yeah.
And there's a whole world of toys out there, like what to go for. It can be very, you know, like a bit overwhelming if you've never used it before. So what would be your like toy recommendations for like maybe someone who's just starting out masturbating, or then maybe ones as well that could be used with your partner, because you know you were saying like about you can get a toy out for the you to finish after they have. What would be your like recommendations, like what are your favorite ones
for like a beginner or someone who's never really delved into that world of toys? Because like you said, it is overwhelming and it's wild what is out there, like the realm of toys that is there. It's just some of them I'm like, how is that even a toy? Like, what would you even do with that? But I think a pebble vibrator. So I think when I was younger, I was used to go to those Ann Summers parties with my mum. I don't know why I was there. I think she couldn't get anyone to like babysit me or something, but I used to be so like curious about what was going on. Now I think about it, I'm like, why was my mum there? What was she doing? Fair play.
Yeah.
But the bullet vibrator was always like a massive one that came up, and I think that was the first one to go into stores when they started selling sex toys in store. But a pebble vibrator is basically like a flat version of the bullet vibrator, but it's better for females because it lies flat and it's slightly curved, so it lies like flush on you. And it's super easy to use by yourself with a partner. You can use it in so many different positions. There's actually one I can recommend. It's called a pebble vibrator from MyViv, which is basically like a sub brand to Ann Summers, and you know, the silicone's body safe and it's rechargeable. You don't have to faff around with batteries. It's really affordable. I think it's like £15 or something.
Some of them are
very expensive. Like, you can get clit suckers and things like that, which I think are a little bit more advanced because they do take a bit of getting used to. I remember the first time I used it, I was like, not a clue how that one is supposed to go. Like, I just couldn't get to grips with it, and like, it felt good, but I just couldn't get there. But obviously they just take time. But some of them, like my favorite one is from Lilo, which is like a bit more of a high-end sex toy brand. And their sex toys are about £170, which if you're really into it, obviously like me, then it's hell of an investment. Like, I could highly recommend. But I think it is good to obviously spend money on your self-care and self-pleasure, because it is really important. But yeah, a pebble vibrator is not intimidating. It's external, you know, you don't have to put anything inside yourself, because that can be really daunting if, you know, you might not even like penetration. So I mean there's loads of internal vibrators, but I think, you know, the majority of women are better with clit stim, so it is better to go with something like that if that's for you. But my Viv as a brand, So Divine, they have like a self-love range, and it's full of clit suckers, vibrators, internal vibrators, you know, dual stem ones, which is like inside, and then there is something that can go on your clit as well, so you're getting it from all ends, sort of thing. But yeah, I think they're like the best brands I could definitely, and Lilo obviously, but they are pretty expensive.
Wow.
Also helpful. Yeah, they can go and look at those. Our next fun question are, what are some things that you recommend people to experiment with? We have some things right here and I actually don't know what they are, like temp play. I said to Grace before, I was like, what?
No, it's Millie's.
Yeah, I've
no, no, I know, I know you wrote them down, but I said to you before, I was like, what's temp play? Yeah,
I went
play?
To explain it because I'd seen your TikTok on it before and she was like, wait, don't tell me actually.
No, I was like, don't tell me the episode. No, I knew you'd wrote these, but yeah, I was reading them and I was like, oh my gosh, what are these?
Yeah, I think people don't understand, like, exploring in sex is something that you should definitely be trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's with positions, even if it's with like your boyfriend maybe rubbing you during sex rather than you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different things you can actually try, and I've mentioned some things there, like temperature play, power play. There's so many different kinks out there, like incorporating feet is like a massive thing for people. That's like one of the most common kinks ever. But temperature play is basically using different temperatures during sex to intensify orgasm, to allow you to get out of your head. It's like a really big thing to help women get out of their head during sex and not concentrate on what you look like so much and concentrate on the pressure, the temperature, the texture of things on your skin rather than, you know, what do I look like sort of thing. You can put lubes in the fridge. You can put toys in the fridge if that's what you want to do. You can put them in cold water, obviously. You know, you might live at home. You don't want to put a dildo in the fridge. Yeah. Your dad would have a hell of a shock. But you can get toys that actually heat up. Like, I've got an internal vibrator and it actually heats up, which is mad. But yeah, like I said, there's so many toys out there. But you can use melting candles. So you like light. They're like specific types of candles. Please don't just get a candle and whack it on your skin. Don't do that. They are specific candles and they usually have like a little pourer thing on the end. So you light it, like wait for like 20 minutes or something, get a healthy bit of wax in there and then you can pour it, wait 5 minutes, pour it on your partner. And yeah, you can use it as like massage oil. It can turn into like a lube. They are usually like genital safe, obviously. But yeah, there's so many different things. If you're comfortable with it, involving other people in your sex life, I think, can be like a really empowering experience, especially for a woman. There's so much to experiment with. Wow.
Yeah, you've got one here, audio porn.
Audio porn. Yeah. I love audio porn.
Yeah, tell us more about that. I've heard of it, but
yeah,
I never used it.
So porn can obviously be like really damaging. Mm. And if you're not aware that it is fake, it's set up, it's like a full-on performance, then you know you might still need something like that to get you in the mood, you know, especially if you struggle sort of getting into the zone by yourself, or even with your partner. You know, partners like to watch that together. Audio porn is like an alternative, so you can still listen to everything that goes on in sex with obviously like two other people having sex or whoever that may be, but you just listen to it. Like, I use an app called, gosh, I can't remember what it's called, not a clue. But I use an app basically, and yeah, you can choose like what you listen to, whether it's like, it might be like a steamy situation in like an office, and then it gives you that sort of like excitement of, you know, they don't want to get caught. You get really invested.
Yeah.
You do actually get invested in the story. But then they start having sex and you can just hear like moans or, you know, body noises, like bodies rubbing together. When they start having sex, you can hear the noise of that. And it's honestly like, it gets your imagination going so good, like wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really intensifies your orgasm as well, because you're like stimulated from multiple things.
Yeah. Need to give audio porn a go.
Yeah, we do.
I feel like it's such a healthier type porn to consume.
Yeah, I think as well it could be really healthy, you know, getting your imagination going and seeing what comes up.
Yeah,
because there might be something that comes up and you're like, I've never thought about that before, like how has that just come up now, and I'm really turned on. And then that might be something that you want to explore as well.
Yeah, oh, fun. Well, you can tell us what the app's called after and we'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, yeah, everyone's like, what is the app? Okay, so you just one more thing about you, you've released this single girl guide.
I have.
So yeah, we just wanted to know, like, what, why did you create this, and like, what can people expect from it? Because there'll be a lot of people listening right now that maybe fresh out of a breakup and feeling really lost, that this could help.
So I think it was on my mind for a while, and I was like, do I do this, do I not, do I just put it on TikTok? And a lot of, you know, my tips are on TikTok, but I think to do a a more in-depth, like an ebook, like it is, about my own experiences, how I came to being this confident in the bedroom and being this confident as a person. And I wrote it because when I came out of my long-term relationship, I didn't have a clue what to do with myself. You know, you're not taught all of these things about sex and about your body, but you're not taught about how to deal with emotions like that. You know, everyone goes through a breakup in their life. It's inevitable. And what I just found it so strange that you're never taught how to deal with those emotions. You know, I felt things that I'd never even thought of in my life, and I just had not a clue how to deal with any of it. So I thought it would be really helpful to other girls. And it really upset me as well. Like, girls might have been going through that. No one knew that I was going through that at the time. And so many women around me might have been going through those emotions and not felt okay to talk about it, because I didn't want to speak about it at the time. I wanted to, like, isolate. So, yeah, to put that into something that I could help other women with, and, you know, if they didn't feel comfortable, they don't have to talk to other people. I was really grateful that I have two best friends, and they carried me through that breakup. And I'm aware that not everyone else has that friendship around them. So if I could put something out there that they could use or read or refer back to, you know, when they felt low, then they could use my guide. And yeah, I mean, it's just full of, like, my experiences. It's full of how to deal with certain things. You know, your ex might still be involved. You might want to be friends with them. You might not. You know, how to cut someone off, how to build on your self-worth, how to build on your self-confidence, how to process other people's opinions. You know, I had a lot of opinion around my breakup, which I found it really difficult to then talk to those closest around me, like my family, because they were so opinionated about certain things that I didn't really think concerned them. Yeah, it's honestly just full of tips on how to deal with life after a breakup and where to go, because you can feel super lost. And yeah, it makes me feel really sad that someone would feel like that. So that's why it's a thing.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. We're, like, always saying how there's not much stuff out there to do with breakups, because it can be, like, such a traumatic time.
Yeah, such a traumatic experience. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was fine with my breakup because it was my choice. But, like, all the emotions that come after that, you're like, oh my gosh, like, where did this come from? And also, you don't have that person that you would usually turn to for all of those. Like, you'd usually turn to your boyfriend, and suddenly they're not there anymore. So you're like, oh my god, I'm actually lost. Like, where do I go? Like, have you two been through breakups?
Yeah, I mean, last year I went through one very similar to that, where it was my decision. Yeah, and then, but then it just wiped me out, didn't it? I was just like, it did kind of floor me for a while, because I was so confused. But then as well, when it's your own decision, you're like, am I worthy of feeling sad? But then you're like, but you do feel really sad, and it's just very, very confusing.
That's, honestly, I've never related to something. So it's like, am I worthy of feeling sad? Like, I remember going home and I was really upset. Like, I just felt really low. And my mum was like, but it was your choice. And I was like, my mum's never been through a breakup, so she fully can't relate. But yeah, I think it's just so strange going through a breakup, and it is wild that there is nothing out there to sort of, I mean, there's obviously books and things like that, but, you know, that's accessible for everyone. And I don't think people realize how much it's going to affect them when they come out of something. So, you know, whether it's long term, whether it's short term, it doesn't matter. Dealing with those things, and you're grieving someone who's still there. So it's a really strange experience as well. And yeah. If anyone wants to buy it, go and buy it, because I fully think it helps people.
I'm sure it does. I think it's nice, like, because you've got such an online presence. Well, if someone already is a fan of your content, and then maybe they are going through that, to, like, know it's from you.
Yeah.
It's really nice, rather than, like, a random.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to put my own experiences in there to make people aware of things that they might not think's normal after a breakup. You know, the contact with your ex is, it's probably going to be inevitable, you know. You're going to have those weak times where you feel like, oh, I want to speak to them, or, you know, I want their advice on something. And it's fine to have that. And I think what I speak about in the book normalizes some of those things as well. And also, like, how to move on. Like I said, where the hell do I go from here? How do I start speaking to other people? And how do I, like, navigate a newly single life? How do I navigate new guys or girls in my life? But yeah.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. Well, where can everybody get the Single Girl Guide, and where can everybody find you as well that's going to want to come look at your TikTok if they don't want to follow you or whatever?
My at is the same on every social media, so if you want to find me anywhere, it's at Millie G Shields. You guys will probably tag
we'll link it in the show notes.
And if you want to buy the Single Girl Guide, it's in my bio in my Instagram and in my TikTok, so yeah, if you find me there, then you'll find the Single Girl Guide there as well. And there's also like some TikTok, some educational stuff on the guide and like what it includes. And yeah, I mean, I wanted to make it like accessible to everyone, even like younger girls who might not even have gone through a breakup. They might be considering it. So yeah, they could obviously buy it and read it, but I might also be bringing out another guide about confidence in the bedroom, because that is something that I get like a lot of questions about on TikTok.
You need to do that.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a great one. And I think that one would be really useful, because I think a lot of girls who are in relationships probably wanted to get that guide, but their boyfriend might be like, why are you buying a single girl guide? Like, you're not single. So yeah, I think that could be a bit better for like everyone.
Oh my god, 100% you've got to do that.
And then next, a book. I could so see you writing a book.
I'd love to write a book. That would be so overwhelming.
Well, thank you so much, this has been amazing.
I know, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it's been so good to like chat with you, and again, like normalize all these things as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you
Guys, we really, really hope you enjoyed this episode. We absolutely loved recording it. Definitely go and follow Millie. Like, you're not going to want to miss out on all the tips and all the incredible stuff that she shares. And definitely go share this with your friends, anyone that you think may benefit from this knowledge, because it is literally such valuable advice and just general topics to really bring up, like in conversations with friends.
So you can send it to a friend, then you can go chat about it after.
And yeah, exactly. Like, just bringing up the topic, like normalizing it, like one step at a time.
Yeah. And that was the goal of this episode. So we hope you guys are feeling a lot more empowered and more knowledgeable about yourself, your body, and sex in general, so that you can go out there and enjoy
sex. Sex for everyone. And orgasms, because that's what we want.
Yes. And all the girlies orgasming. Thanks for joining us, guys. We will see you back here next Wednesday with a new episode, and stay tuned for more sexual wellness episodes, because we are going to be diving into this topic with some other guests in upcoming episodes. So if you're new here, stick around, because there's going to be more to come. And don't forget to pick up some new sex toys and sexual wellness products from Love Honey using code FINDINGYOUR15 to get 15% off site-wide.
And do not forget to go and enter the giveaway, because you do not want to miss this. £550 worth of sex toys delivered right to your door. All you have to do is like the post and be following Love Honey and us to enter the giveaway. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.